Good morning. Great to have you along this Sunday morning. You're tuned into the Public Affairs Show. I'm Radar from The Morning Show on 99.1 The Mix. And you're also catching Public Affairs, as you do every Sunday morning, on our sister stations right down the hall from us, 103.7 KISS FM, Hot 105.7, and our sports station, AM 1250 The Fan. You can also listen on the Odyssey app on your smartphone if you're getting out of the car or you're not going to be close to your car radio. Then you can download it and like your favorite station. Hopefully you like The Mix. But whichever station you like, we appreciate you being here this morning. And you're going to be hearing from two guests this week on Sunday Morning Public Affairs. It's Teresa Cocker, the Chief Program Officer for the Norris Center, and Julie, who's a therapeutic foster parent benefiting from the Norris Center. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, yes.
Teresa and Julie, thanks for being guests. We've got you on the phone, conferenced in here. And Teresa, as we start with our Sunday Morning Public Affairs, can you give a little background on the Norris Center and the programs offered and what it does for the community?
Absolutely. Norris has been serving children and families since 1917. We have our administrative offices in Maguanago in Waukesha County, and we have group care programs for youth. On our Maguanago campus, we have a residential facility for boys between the ages of 8 and 17. And in West Bend, we have a residential facility and shelter for boys and girls. And these facilities are for kids who need a little more structure, supervision, and treatment before they can be safe in a community setting. And then we also have our therapeutic foster care program, which we are here to talk about today. We license and train foster parents throughout the state of Wisconsin, but we focus on looking for families in southeastern Wisconsin because that's where the highest need is.
Yeah, and as you mentioned that, Teresa, we'll go over to Julie, who is a foster parent. But Julie, we introduced you as a therapeutic foster parent. So what is the difference between being a therapeutic foster parent and, I guess, for in layman's terms, what people know about like being just a regular foster parent? What's the difference there?
Well, for me as a foster parent, that therapeutic part of it, it just gives you as a foster parent more support from your agency, so from Norris. You have kids who are just like any other kid. Foster kids all have gone through a lot of trauma in their life, and being a therapeutic foster parent, we have to take more training to really focus on trauma sensitivity and trauma-informed care. But then we also get this wonderful support from our agency that if you're not a therapeutic foster placement, you don't get. So you, through Norris and other therapeutic foster agencies, you get check-ins weekly. You get home visits every couple weeks. You have 24-hour-a-day contact where if something comes up, they can support you. So for me, that's the huge difference between being a foster parent and being a therapeutic foster parent.
And Julie, how many children do you have in your home right now?
Well, in terms of children, I have four.
Okay.
Three of which are boys who my husband and I gave birth to. And then we have one foster daughter right now. And she is our youngest and our baby at age 14.
And how is that? So the reason I ask about how many children there are, how is that mix in your family when you bring a foster child into the family? I mean, obviously, it's not just you and your husband who have to be on top of everything and take on the responsibility of being a foster parent, but you also have to kind of train your own kids and kind of educate them on what kind of situation you're getting into. Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely a learning curve for everybody. And I have a 15-year-old son who's almost 16. And from the beginning, he was just like, I don't know about this whole thing. I don't know. I don't know if I want kids in my home. And my husband and I really had made the decision, like, this actually is going to be a great learning experience for you. It's going to create empathy in you, and it's going to create an opportunity for you to learn about kids who maybe aren't as fortunate as you, who don't live in the same house that they were born in with, a family that's always been together And so for him, it's been, I'd say, the biggest learning curve. And I have seen him progress. And, you know, he has pellet guns and he'll go and chase our foster daughter. And so we see this relationship developing. And next year they'll actually be in the same school together. So that'll be another experience for the two of them. And Miss D, who I'll call our foster daughter, her sole goal in high school is to make sure that she embarrasses Johnny, our 15-year-old. And so that I love, too. That is brother-sister, right? That is
totally
core. How can we annoy each other?
Yeah, it sounds like Miss D is really acclimated to your home. How long has she been with you?
Well, it will be 1 year next week.
Oh, wow.
We have a one-year anniversary, and 6 months before that, we started doing respite care for her, where she's from Milwaukee, and so she would come to her country home, because we live in western Racine County, literally surrounded by cornfields. And so she would come to her country home for 6 months, like every other weekend, just to you know, catch frogs and go to horse farms or whatever.
Sure.
And then she needed a placement last June, and we were the first place that they looked at. And so we had, you know, talked about it with her and with our family and decided that she was going to be with us full time. So our one-year anniversary is next week.
Yay.
And what she wants is a mother-daughter photo shoot. Isn't this amazing?
Well,
like, I've never had a mother-daughter photo shoot, but our caseworker from Norris, she's going to do our makeup for us. The equine therapy farm that Miss D goes to, they're going to be the location. And then I have a friend photographer who's doing it. So it should be, and she doesn't know about this yet. But it's going to be a surprise for her. So she'll be super stoked.
And if you're just joining us, we are really joyful here today, it seems like, with our Sunday Morning Public Affairs. Again, Radar from 99.1 The Mix. We're talking with Teresa Cocker from the Norris Center and Julie, a therapeutic foster parent who you just heard talking about the one-year anniversary with her foster daughter in the house. And Julie works through the Norris Center here on our Public Affairs show. We're trying to get the word out about becoming a foster parent. And Teresa, what are some of the steps that people would have to go through, parents would have to go through if they're interested in looking into doing exactly what Julie's doing and being a foster parent?
Sure. So for anyone who is interested in learning more about becoming a foster parent, the first step would be to contact us. So people can visit our website, which is norriscenter.org. They can give us a call at 262-222-2000. And what we do is we share information about our program, what makes our program different, the support that we provide. We also offer free community trainings once a month. They're entitled Foster Care 101, and right now we're offering those virtually. Anyone can register to attend. The link for that is on our website as well, or on our Facebook page. And that those courses are really designed to give a foundation on the foster care system in general and what we look for in foster parents. Foster parents can then, or prospective people who are interested in becoming foster parents, would submit an application. We would run background checks. We ask for references. We schedule home visits to tour the home and to get to know the family and really help the family figure out what would be a good fit for them. You know, we talk about what age would be best, what gender, how many kids, what characteristics of kids would be a good fit or not, because we want it to be a good placement match both for the child and for the foster family. So the first step for someone being interested is to contact us and we can start the process.
That's awesome. Yeah, because we have a lot of people listening who would love to do this, or maybe they haven't thought about it, but as they're hearing the story from Julie, our therapeutic foster parent here on Sunday Morning Public Affairs, they may be saying, you know what? She sounds like she's got a great life going there. She's really excited. You never had a mother-daughter portrait being taken, Julie, and that's what's going to be happening in your family since you have three boys that are biological to you. And then you've got the foster daughter, Miss D, as you call her. Julie, what now, as people are listening, and they just heard Teresa say, hey, get in contact with the Norris Center if you want to become a foster parent. What made it for you to become a foster parent? What decision, what kind of jumped in your brain where you said, you know what, we want to do this? Because there are people listening who maybe, you know, all of a sudden it triggers their brain going, hey, you know what, I kind of want to do that too. What was it for you that made you want to become a foster parent?
For my husband and I, it really was that some friends of ours had decided to go and become a foster parent. And they were just kind of talking about their experiences. And they had said, like, yeah, you know, sometimes we just need respite for our foster child because maybe we have to go to a funeral and it wouldn't be appropriate to bring the foster child or any child, or we have to go out of state for a wedding. And so my husband and I thought, well, you know, we could give back to our community and to kids in need by just, you know, being a support to other foster parents. And so that's really how our journey started. And I saw the Norris Foster Parent 101, and actually my sister-in-law and I were like, yeah, let's learn more information. And the next thing that happened, we had decided that we were going to at least get licensed and see where it led us. We didn't get into fostering to adopt. You know, we just got into it because there are kids in need. I'm a teacher and I'm a special ed teacher, and I know I have been involved with students who are foster kids, and I've had to make referrals for Child Protective Services as a teacher. So I've peripherally worked with foster kids but never brought that experience into my home. And one thing led to another, and all of a sudden we did a long-term respite, and then we started, you know, meeting kids and decided, oh, we could do more than just respite. And that's kind of where Miss D came in. We were doing respite, and she needed a full-time placement, and so we took that leap, and it's really been amazing.
Julie, we don't even need to have you, like, face-to-face. We can hear the smile in your talk. It sounds like this has kind of brought joy to your life. It just seems like this is something you wanted to do, and now that you're successful doing it, it seems like to have created even more joy in your household. The boys sound like they're excited having Miss D in the house with you, and you've actually blogged about your fostering journey. Tell us about that a little bit. Some of the articles that you may have written.
Yeah, so Teresa had mentioned to all of us foster parents at one time, like, hey, we'd love someone to write a blog. I've never written a blog before. I don't know how to write a blog, but I got a lot of thoughts running through my head a lot. And so, you know, I wrote my first blog the day before Miss D arrived to our house. You know, just that's how it started. Like, can I raise a girl? Do I know how to do this? Like, this child is being dropped off at our home, and we have to take responsibility of this child 24 hours a day. We have to make sure she's breathing and eating and healthy. And so it just kind of started there. And as more things kind of popped up in our journey, I was just like, oh, I'm going to talk about that. And for me, it's really been somewhat therapy for me to
sure.
put it out there. And some of my blogs are sweet, and some of them are related to, you know, me getting phone calls that, you know, on Instagram, Miss D is posting that she's going to pierce her sister's nose, you know, and so, like, or that, you know, a grasshopper has venom and is going to, you know, so some of them are just light and funny and just weird things that she's experienced being in the country. And then others are more touching and or frustrating for me sometimes, and, you know, about court or schools or cyberbullying that she's went through. So it just goes through a range, but for me, I look at it as therapy. And really the why I keep doing this blog is just to show people that foster kids aren't scary, And specifically teens in foster care aren't scary. You know, I always say teens are my jam. Like, I was a high school teacher. I love teens. Give me a teen any day over a five-year-old. And so really it's just to show, like, hey, there's teens in the foster care system who need that love and support. And honestly, teens are just big kids. You know, they have more hair and they may smell more, but they're just kids, and they just need that support and that love to really flourish. And if we don't do something for those teens, how is that helping our society? How is it helping, you know, anything in the world if we are having these teens just age out of foster care without support? I mean, it just breaks my heart to even think about it.
Absolutely, yeah. And that you are listening to Sunday Morning Public Affairs. That's Julia, foster parent through the Norris Center. And with us this morning also is Teresa Cocker, the chief program officer with the Norris Center. And, you know, Julie, you just mentioned, I mean, I'm kind of thinking that sometimes people might think, oh, well, you know, teens, they're set in their ways. You know, they're already a teenager now. There's no changing them. There's no helping them find the right path in life. You know, they know it all. Once you hit, you know, that know-it-all age, which is like 13, 14, all of a sudden they know everything. But your work and your you got a heart of gold working with foster kids, especially with Miss D here. And now, Teresa, sometimes people may say, well, just like Julie was saying, I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to be a foster parent. There's so much involved in the situation. Teens, you know, oh, that's, forget it. They're just troublemakers, you know, some people may think. But there's a lot of myths out there. What are some facts to not only put people's minds at ease, especially if they're thinking about being a foster parent, or if they're thinking about, you know, just the general public, let's say, how they perceive foster parents to be in life?
Sure. You're right. There are a lot of myths out there that keep people from, you know, asking questions or applying or learning more. And when we look at foster parents, you know, you can be single, you can be married, you can be partnered, you can own your own home, or you can rent. You can also decide what children are the best fit for you. And just because you're licensed doesn't mean you have to take a placement when we call you. So one of the nice things about our program is that when we get referrals for children needing placement, generally speaking, it's not an emergency situation and we have time to gather information. So we can ask questions, we can talk with our foster families, they can ask questions. Many times they can even meet the child before agreeing to placement to make sure that the child is comfortable and the foster parents are comfortable too. But ultimately we want it to be a good fit for both the child and the foster family, because foster children, they're just kids like anyone else, and they are simply in need of a home that can provide them safety, stability, and love. And there are many people out there who might be listening who are thinking about it. And we encourage you to reach out, to ask us questions. We also have foster families such as Julie who are open to talking with people who are considering becoming foster parents. You know, you can talk with me as a social worker and I can give you one side, but a foster parent can give you kind of the nitty-gritty and the day-to-day of what is really going on. So I would just encourage people to reach out to us on our website, norriscenter.org, or give us a call, 262-222-2000, and we can get you in contact with someone who can share their experiences.
And could you give that that contact information one more time? I was just going to have you wrap up with that because, yeah, there are a lot of people that listen to our Sunday Morning Public Affairs show, and you may have triggered someone to say, you know what, I want to give back to the community. I want to give back to kids who are in need, and maybe this is the path I'm looking for. There could be some people in life who are sitting there saying, yeah, you know what, this sounds like something that will definitely, you know, be something that I could do and something I can help give back, kind of like Julie in our earlier conversations here in the interview. So, yeah, Teresa, give that information one more time for the Norris Center.
Sure. People who are interested can look at our website, which is norriscenter.org. They can give us a call at 262-222-2000, or they can email us at tfc@norriscenter.org.
And we'll also have this on our Sunday Morning Public Affairs page right on our website, 991themix.com. Just look for the Public Affairs drop-down. Julie, thank you so much for joining us today. Julie's a therapeutic foster parent. And best of luck to you and your family. Enjoy the mother-daughter portrait that you have, because you have a heart of gold in what you're doing. And so this is going to be a lot of fun for you to do this portrait coming up. And congratulations on 1 year with Miss D.
Thank you. And I just wanted to give one last shout-out to my husband, Jason. I know I'm the one on the radio, but he has put hours and hours and hours of conversations and driving Miss D around and taking her into Milwaukee and meeting with her dad and all of this other stuff. So I want him to be recognized. Like, the foster dads in the world are so important too, and we need foster dads as much as we need foster moms. And I'm just so grateful that he has been all in this process, too.
It takes a village, right? The more help we can give to children, the better.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Yes.
So Teresa Cocker from the Norris Center and Julie, foster parent through Norris. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, both of you, for being part of this week's Sunday Morning Public Affairs. Best of luck to both of you. And we just hope that we can help more kids through our Sunday Morning Public Affairs interview here. Thank you both so much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
You too.